Support for Juno Afternoon comes from Heritage Coffee Roasting Company, providing Juno with locally roasted coffee for over 40 years with 7 cafes and drive-thru locations throughout Juno. More at heritagecoffee.com. I'm Shelley Delaney, and it's time for our December check-in with the Juno Police Department. Dave Campbell, who is Deputy Chief of Police, joins us now. Hi, Dave.
Hi, how are you today?
I'm well, thanks. How are you?
I'm good. Yes. I can't believe it's already December 1st. It's kind of shocking.
I know. The year sort of flew by and also didn't. So anyway.
Yeah. Be nice when this year's in the books, that's for sure.
I agree. Well, it seems that every time we visit, recruitment is always on the front burner for JPD, and today is no different. Am I right?
Yeah, and you know, it's not a Juno Police thing. Recruitment for law enforcement across the country has been an issue for a couple of years now, and it's something that's really, really important. One thing that we have not done is lower our standards. I know several other agencies in the country have done that, and historically, whenever an agency lowers its standards, it just causes problems down the road. It solves a temporary problem, but it causes more problems down the road. Our process is pretty long, but we are making inroads to it. We just had one of our new officers, Taylor Davis. He just graduated from the Public Safety Academy over in Sitka 2 weeks ago. So he's back in Juno, and he's going to be hitting the street and starting his field training here in the middle of the month. So that's exciting. And then we hired another officer, a new position. Gentleman's name is Chris Herrick, and he's coming to us from Montana. And he's going through what we refer to as our mini academy. What we do is when we hire a new officer, we bring him in and we provide him a bunch of training to kind of prep them to go to the academy in Sitka. We give them things like laws of arrest, search and seizure, do policy reviews, go out to the range, make sure they qualify, pepper spray them, all the kind of stuff they have to do. And then we put them in a uniform with their field trainer, and we have to do about a month on the street before they go to the academy so that they can have some real world experience. So when they're learning stuff in the academy, they can kind of have a frame of reference. And it's been pretty successful so far. And then in January, we're hiring another officer, a gentleman by the name of Jeremy, I believe it's Foster, I think his last name is, and he's with the getting out of the Army and lives in Anchorage, and come down to Juno, become a police officer with us. So we're really excited about that. It takes a long time. So even though we have, one officer that just finished the academy, two officers that were going to be sending to the academy in February, we're still down 7 officers. So wow. if you funnel out those 3, because they're not really, solo, carrying some of the weight themselves, we're really down 10 effectively. So it really makes a difference for us from a staffing level. And the process is long. Getting hired takes about 3 to 4 months, start to finish. Once somebody does get hired by us, then, they have to go to the academy in Sitka. That's a 16-week live-in academy. They do our mini academy. They do a 14-week field training program. So from the time we actually hire somebody to them being, boots on the ground, working as a solo cop is about a year. During that point in time, we still have people that, earlier this year, we had, 3 officers that weren't really on our radar that left us. It was the first time in about 4 years we'd had somebody leave us. So it was kind of unexpected. Of course, one officer that left us went and worked for another agency down in the Montana area. And then 2 of them just got out of law enforcement altogether. So when you lose somebody like that, it's really hard because it takes a long time to replace them. So we are in a state of continual hiring. We are advertising. We have the ability to do online tests and remote physical fitness tests. And it's pretty easy for someone who's interested to apply for us. But our standards are still high. About 90% of the people that do apply for us don't make it. And we keep those standards high, for a reason, because it's important.
Wow, that's all really interesting. I'm glad to get that background information on your recruiting and hiring procedures. It sounds like it's a real investment for you guys when you bring someone on board.
It is, and there's a tremendous amount of discretion and authority that comes on being a police officer. So the most important decision you make is hiring the right person at the get-go. Because if you hire someone that's got a good moral base to them, they're going to continue to have a good moral base, you know, and you want to make sure that you have someone that can be trusted, can be out, you know, using their discretion. Even with, you know, the prolific use we have of body worn cameras, you know, that's just a tool, and there are limitations to the tool. So you just really need to be able to trust someone to use good judgment and to come to the part for the right reasons. So that's why we put such a tremendous emphasis on hiring the right people to start with.
Well, as a citizen, that's very good to hear.
Thank you. And then kind of like in line with that, one thing that's pretty exciting for us is we recently got accredited. So we are an accredited police agency. I believe they're going to do the formal presentation in the middle of this month at the assembly chambers, but in my box right there.
I see it.
That's our plaque. That's the plaque we got from the Oregon Accreditation Alliance saying that we're accredited. And it was a pretty long process. It took us about 2 years to get through it, start to finish. We had people work on it, you know, I'd say two sergeants kind of exclusively. One was injured on light duty, and then one we had a new position. But people always ask me, well, why do you want to be in an accredited agency? And I think my answer, what I come back to is the people of Chino deserve an accredited agency. You know, my son is an accountant. If I was to hire an accountant, I'd want a CPA, you know, a certified public. If I go to the dentist, I want a board certified dentist or a board certified doctor. You know, you deserve that when you look for, you know, professional services, and police is no different. So the people of Juneau deserve to have a professional agency that meets standards, and not our standards, but standards that someone else has established as best practices, and that they come in, we provide them all our policies, we make some policy changes, and then we have to provide them proofs to say, you know, here's what we say we do, here's what we actually do that we say we do. And it's a pretty long process to go through it. And I'm probably one of the most excited people here because I've been in it from the beginning, and to actually, you know, get the blessing that says, yes, you are an accredited agency was huge for us. And it's a big feather in Chief Mercer's cap. He really pushed it. And I'm just happy for the citizens of Chino because, you know, like two summers ago when all the social unrest came along, people rightfully said, well, what is Chino doing during all this? And it's one thing for someone like me to say, well, trust us, we follow best practices. But when you have an outside agency says, yes, they follow best practices, it gives reassurances to the people that we interact with that yeah, we're doing what we say we do, you know? So accreditation is huge. And I'm kind of surprised, honestly, that more agencies don't do it because it does leave that level of transparency that's really needed when you're talking about, you know, government authority.
Well, I bet many of them don't do it because it is a lot of hard work. And I think that it's probably been 6 months of interviewing the police department, and I believe accreditation has come up every single time. And I knew that we're getting closer and closer and closer to the day when it was actually going to be official. And so congratulations to you from me, because I know what a big deal it was and how much hard work it took from your department.
Thank you. Yeah, it was a really big deal for us. And I'm looking forward to having it actually presented on I think it's the 13th, but don't quote me on that, I think. But this month is when it's coming.
That's great. I'm also glad that you're taking a moment to celebrate that success and that milestone.
Yeah, and it's for all of Juneau. It's not just us. It's for all of Juneau. You know, and we do things like, you know, and we have like awards committee meetings. And, you know, if an officer gets an award for doing something or a dispatcher gets an award for doing something, I don't view it as, oh, that individual officer or that individual dispatcher just did something great. I'm thinking, wow, it reflects on all of us and what it means for us to be an agency. I've been very fortunate. I've traveled all over the country, talked to police departments and police personnel and commanders from all over the country. And Juneau is really special. We have a tremendous amount of support from our people. And I talk to some people where it's more like an us versus them mentality. I just don't get it. You know, mm-hmm. I think part of it is that, you know, 100% of the police officers that work for Juneau live in Juneau. And, you know, you'd say, well, of course, where else are they going to live? But for the vast majority of the country, that's unusual. And you have officers that will live in one area and go to work in another area. And I think you tend to treat people differently when you don't live where you police, you know? So yeah, it's our geographic isolation, and yeah, there's no other options, but we reap the benefits of having 100% of the people that work as cops here live here, you know?
Yes, I totally get it. Well, that's great. I'm really glad to hear about all of that. That's great, great news, as I already said. So thanks for sharing that, and congrats to everybody there. Taking a little bit of a turn, I know something else on your list to discuss today, and maybe this actually is a good segue from living and working in the community. Patrol allocation. You have some updates there, but what is patrol allocation and what's changing?
Well, patrol allocation basically is how do we take the resources that we have and distribute them across the city to make it be the most effective. And probably one of the biggest things that we've done recently is this has become an issue in a couple other areas to say, what's happened, with the Glory Hall moving from downtown to the airport. Mm-hmm. And we have seen our calls for service in that area has gone up. It's really still too early to tell if it's going to be continuing or where the trend is going, but it's enough of a trend for us to say, yeah, we need to kind of address this. So we've kind of reallocated and shifted some of our people to focus more in that area. So I just wanted to reassure people that we are getting calls from people that are in the area that are concerned and say, yeah, we are having more officers in the area as a physical presence and just communicating with people and being in the area to kind of address some of those concerns. So that's something that I thought be important to get to.
Great. Thank you for sharing the update there. I think it's important as well. Finally, winter is upon us in all of its forms, which are snow, slush, and ice, and rain. What would you like our listeners to keep in mind as it pertains to public safety? I know that's something you wanted to talk about today.
Yeah, and we normally talk about this at the beginning of wintertime, and this winter has been a particularly snowy one early. And I think that, we've had, unfortunately, some really bad traffic collisions recently, including fatality traffic collisions. We've had single car accidents, multiple car accidents. We've had collisions between pedestrians and drivers. So it's kind of run the gamut. And it's just really good to kind of let everybody know that it is snowy. They do need to slow down, be a little bit more aware. If you're a pedestrian, it's really helpful to wear bright clothing, to stay on the bike path, to cross at crosswalks, maybe even carry a flashlight with you. Kind of have your head in a swivel as what's going on. If you're a driver, slow down a little bit. Four-wheel drive is great. You can go through a lot of stuff, but four-wheel drive doesn't help you stop. Stopping, all vehicles are the same when it comes to, the tires on the roads and the type of, the brakes, ABS, that kind of things. And give yourself a little more time, give yourself a little more distance. When my kids were younger, when I was teaching how to drive, I used to tell them that, being right doesn't matter when you're in a traffic collision. You might have the right of way and, I have the green light, I am right, I can go. But if you're in a collision, you start talking about, loss of life and property and injuries and damage, you're better off letting somebody else, drive. You need to drive defensively. Yeah, you might have the right of way, but if you need to stop for someone that's driving recklessly, let them go through and do whatever you can to avoid the accident, because it doesn't matter if you're right. You can be right and hurt, and it's not going to make a difference if you're hurt. So just drive very, very defensively. One thing that we are doing a little differently this year that we just put a Facebook post out about is this time of year, we also have a lot of vehicles going to the ditch. And oftentimes we get a lot of calls to our comm center, and we only have two dispatchers typically working at any given time. So if they start receiving multiple calls about the same thing, it can really take up their time really, really quickly. So like what some other jurisdictions have done, we now have these pink tags. And if a vehicle is in the ditch and we're aware of it, the officer or the CSO will put a pink tag on it and put some survey tape around it as like a visual, hey, we've been here. So if you're driving along and you see a vehicle in the ditch, you see it's
no
got
need
the pink
to call.
Don't need to call. We are aware of it. I think that the surveyor tape we've already got to use, the tags, I think are going to be coming in early next week sometime to get those too. But that's something to keep your eye out for.
All right. Well, Deputy Chief Dave Campbell, thank you so much, Juneau Police Department. That's all really great information. I really appreciate you coming on and sharing all these, all of this, from accreditation celebration to driving tips. So thanks very much for your time today.
Great. Well, I know it's a cliche, but I'll see you next year.
Yes, you will. Have a good holiday.
All right. Take care.
Take care.